For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about a wife's temptations. I was dealing yesterday with the question that comes rather often in my radio mail. What do you do with a husband who doesn't share? Well, let's remember that we are loved with an everlasting love, and underneath are the everlasting arms. How much can we expect from an ordinary human being, the man who shares our table and our house and our bed? Well, I didn't quite finish with all the advice that I gave to that lady who had written, but I did suggest that she needed to accept the man that she had, to realize that this is the man who has been given. And that's a very important spiritual principle in our lives. God has given some things, and he has not given other things. Eve determined to have what God had not given, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And through her own insistence and her declaration of independence that she was going to do her own thing, suffering, sorrow, sin, and death entered the world. Let's check ourselves when we're complaining about what we don't have. It was not given. That was not the kind of husband that God gave you. One of the broad principles that we who earnestly desire to be faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus must remember, he has promised to give everything we need. If the husband I have been given is a husband who does not, perhaps cannot, share, then this is the husband for whom I am to be thankful and the man I'm called to love. To live means to love. To love means to give yourself for others. A wife's temptation is to be a triumphant rival. And we read a letter on Monday about what happens in a church when women begin to take charge, and on Tuesday, what happens in the home, disorder. Then yesterday, my reply to a woman whose husband doesn't share. She was tempted to needle him, to be disgruntled, discontent, and even angry at God for not giving her the kind of a husband who would share. Many of you young women who listen faithfully to Gateway to Joy write about the sad lack of older women available to help you to be the wives, homemakers, mothers, and child trainers that you long to be. It's a struggle, and you need help. And the older women seldom seem to make themselves available. One young woman heard me give some talks on Elizabeth Prentice as a good role model of an older woman. Biblical truth unmixed with psychology and secular thinking. We need all the help we can get, don't we? To line up our thinking with the straight edge of Scripture. We old women, responsible to help younger women avoid the common temptations, that is our calling. God is going to hold us responsible. There's strong pressure on those younger women to yield to secular thinking concerning the job market, for example, versus being a stay-at-home mother. We are to be encouragers of their obedience to the Word of God. I want to carry on with more of my reply yesterday to the woman whose husband wouldn't share. To love means to give yourself for others. To give yourself means to lay yourself open to suffering. To suffer, if you do so in the close company of Christ, means ultimately to reign with him. You have the perfect chance to do all of the above without too much temptation to do it only for what you'll get out of it here and now. Give God thanks for your husband. God perfectly understands his past, his inability or his unwillingness to share intimately, and his refusal to accept responsibility. That's between your husband and God. God isn't going to hold you responsible for what he didn't do. You are not, in other words, his moral custodian. That's not your job. That's God's. Your job is to love him. Just keep on doing everything you'd do if you were madly in love with him. Work at it. Do it cheerfully, as unto the Lord. Maybe the Lord will change both of you through this. Maybe he won't. But when you see his face, he is going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." It will be worth it then. I'm pretty sure you'll find out long before then that it's worth it now, if you do it with thanksgiving and gladness, as unto the Lord. One last thing. You say it's hard to face the years to come without a, quote, normal, unquote, marriage. When it comes right down to it, can we be sure we know what's normal? Do we know, for example, how much intimate sharing Jacob and Rachel or Zechariah and Elizabeth enjoyed? When I speak of intimate sharing, I am certainly not, of course, speaking of the marriage act. I'm speaking of conversation, the revealing of one's deep heart's feelings. Thousands of women live just as you do. Whatever the case, you need not, you must not face the years to come. Take no thought for tomorrow, Jesus said. All you have to do is to take his yoke for a single day. So the question of, do I have to live with this man who doesn't communicate for the rest of my life? Yes, the answer is yes, unless God intervenes. So may I suggest that when you rise tomorrow morning, you kneel down in a quiet place. Thank God for a new day, a new beginning with the same old husband. Ask for his help as you place yourself and your husband with your works, your joys, and your sufferings in his hands. Learn of him who is gentle and humble in heart, and find, surely you will find, that his burden is light. He who bore his own cross alone bears always the heavier end of the cross that he lays on us. He who bore his own cross alone bears always the heavier end of the cross that he lays on us. Now, one temptation which must be very strong for wives whose husbands are not Christians is to snow them with words. Try to convert them. Insist on praying with them, when it would be much better to pray alone with God for them. And we have Peter's advice to a woman who is married to a man who is not a Christian. 1 Peter 3, wives, in the same way, and he's referring to the way he told slaves to treat their masters in the previous chapter, in the same way, be submissive to your husband, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your life. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, for this is of great worth in God's sight. This is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right, and do not give way to fear. And, of course, Peter goes on to give some instructions to husbands. But I'm talking now about a wife's great temptation, to be a rival, a critic, a competitor to her husband. Note that Peter says, he may be won without a word. Is he unreasonable, illogical, self-centered? Love him anyway. And 1 Corinthians 13 tells you how. Here's another letter. She says, obedience to the word. For a woman, for me, it is a steadfast faithfulness to husband, family, home, for the adornment of the gospel, and for the growth of the church. It is good deeds, hospitality, helping those who are in trouble, after my own family's needs are met. It's not always exciting or rewarding. In fact, it's seldom so. But Christ's commands are clear, stated over and over in St. Paul's epistles to the churches. It is our lives he wants, lived out in simple, yes, mundane at times, obedience to the praise of his glory. Then our voiced praises, our lifted holy hands, will be acceptable and even beautiful to him. Obedience is the best praise we can ever give to our holy God. And she tells me that she had been convicted about this matter of submission while she was sending my book, Let Me Be a Woman, to her daughter. May God help us to be the kind of wives that glorify him through self-abandonment and self-forgetful love.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.